Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. I know that Evan said that it's a nicely made bed because you outed me for having not made the guest bed in the chat. It's not very nicely made. I really just threw the comforter over it.
Yeah, no, can confirm.
Pillow is not from MyPillow, which not a great brand. Says
yeah,
and says this unbiased observer.
yes, they are not. But you know what is a great brand? Blue Wire. And I want to give a shout out to our host network, and also for all everybody listening, make sure you search Blue Wire to check out all the best podcasts on your favorite teams. Browns Film Room. How high did they get? Did they get top 25 on iTunes this week?
Who's to say? I wasn't.
I feel like they were high up there.
That sucks. You didn't. We didn't prep this, Justin.
No.
So now I look like an asshole.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But go check them out.
Hell yeah.
They're doing well because the Browns are doing well. Hopefully someday that will come back our way when Sexland is completely taken off. Actually, let's start there for a second. I think you're on the same bandwagon as me, right, Carter? That I'm not a Browns fan, but I'm becoming one this season.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I missed all the fun times. I started in the Quincy Carter era. So before you think I'm some bandwagoner, I just like pain. But, you know, it's like the Cowboys, like so much about them sucks. Like, I hate Jerry Jones. I hate Ezekiel Elliott. I actually like Dak. Thanks, Whitney. I don't know if he's great, but he's better than people think he is. He's just had the worst offensive coordinator in the league the last 5 years.
He's Tim Tebow without Jesus, but continue.
No, he's very religious. If you knew anything about Dak, you'd know that. So, yeah, ultimately, like, it's just not like a ton of fun to be a Cowboys fan, even though like they've had a couple good years. And like, you know, as a LeBron fan, I know a lot about, you know, as a LeBron fan, I know a lot about like rooting for like a corny, but ultimately kind of fun to root for player.
Right.
And, like, that's Baker to a T. And I'd love it when Browns fans say he's not corny. It's like, no, it's okay, but he is. So that end, it's just like, yeah, they're just a lot of fun right now. I love OBJ.
I feel like he's corny in the same way that I am, in that he wears tank tops in all the same occasions that I do.
He's you. He's you, Justin. Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be – I'm definitely going to, like, at least vaguely root for them next year. I mean, I always do just because, like, I don't know how you feel about this. And we might have talked about this on the pod before, but, like, I think people are typically split two ways with fandom. It's either, like, when their friends are fans of something, they kind of don't want them to succeed because they find their friends annoying. Or or you're me, where it's, like, I don't really care about the Browns, but, like, everyone I know on Sunday will have a better Sunday if they win. So to that end, like, I'm going to kind of root for them just out of just wanting my friends to be happy.
So, yeah, that's basically where I'm at. Yeah,
that's what I've been for years.
Yeah, the people I care about the Browns. So it'd be nice to see them do well. And also they're kind of following the mold that I'd like to see with the Cavs, which is they drafted pretty well. They accumulated assets. They hit on Baker, obviously, and then they cashed in some of those assets to go get OBJ. Obviously, it's totally different building in the NFL versus the NBA.
Sure.
But I do think one thing that does translate is players in the NBA want to play with guys they like, other stars or guys that make basketball look fun. And I think that's what you're really hoping for with the Cavs, is that you hit on a guy like Garland. Maybe Colin Sexton blows up. Maybe Kevin Porter Jr. is that guy. But you get enough guys that guys want to play with, and you accumulate enough assets that you can go make the move, take a gamble on a star that maybe only has a year or two left on their deal, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're back to relevance. Because I think that's the way that small market teams have to – or I shouldn't say small market. We glamour, non-glamour.
Thank you.
Non-glamour markets have to operate in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a little different with football because there's just so much job scarcity, and teams have so much more control over players. Like, market to me matters a lot less in football. And also, like, you're not there as long. You're not, you don't really have to live where you work to the same extent.
Plus, you don't even realize where you are until about Wednesday, Thursday the following week.
Yeah, or you never do. football. So, yeah, I'm definitely on the Browns bandwagon a little bit this year, though. Of course, it's always going to be a Cowboys thing. Hey, Whitney, thank you so much for the Prime sub. Very, very nice of you. That's 3 months in a row really funding the pod. I think we're due for a cash out soon, Justin. I think we're going to claim that sweet $100 U.S. American.
Which is going to fund my entire trip to Cleveland in a couple of months. So that, yeah, that'll be great.
This because I don't think I can go to any games with you. And I didn't think I was invited, but I assumed. Yeah, Justin's coming to Cleveland in early November, right as I get back from an 8-day work trip to an 8-month pregnant wife. So it's going to be hard for me to get there. But is Trish looking forward to meeting me for lunch?
I think so. You haven't come up a whole lot. She's more talked about how many breweries there are in Cleveland. She seems to be very excited about that. We're going to be staying in Ohio City, I guess. So that should be a lot of fun, kind of walking distance from the queue. So that'll be pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to it, man. This will be my third pilgrimage to the land. My first time. So we need to get into the injury history first. So I picked early in the season because I thought, okay, there's a good chance guys are going to be okay. Like even last year, Kevin Love lasted, what, 4 games, 5 games? If I make it that same amount of time, I'm going to see Kevin Love play. But last 2 times I went to play. The first time, Kyrie gets injured the night before my flight. He had that shoulder issue. That was the last year before LeBron came back. He didn't play in any of the 3 games I went to go see. The following year, I went for the playoffs. Of course, the day before my flight was Kelly Olynyk pulling Kevin Love's arm out of the socket. So I really, really need this curse to not continue because
that. Did you also come to Cleveland for the Anthony Bennett lottery?
No.
I thought you were.
No, I Skyped in. I Skyped in for the Wiggins lottery. The Bennett one, I just got really drunk and mad. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be my first time like staying in Cleveland. I stayed with Mort last time in Akron and enjoyed that.
Sounds like a real house of horrors.
Staying with Mort is exactly how you would assume it would be, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get to see the Mavericks and Celtics get their butts whooped by the Cavs, who are going to get off to a hot start this season, aren't they, Carter?
Absolutely right, Justin. I just hope I can make a little day trip out here to finally meet you in person properly.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. It's probably a little bit overdue, given that we've been doing this for a couple of years.
Sure,
but that's all good. But yes, it's got me thinking about next season. I'm really excited for it to come around. And I think that right now we are still firmly in hope trafficking season. I think it's a good time to start talking about some of the wider hopes and dreams for the Cavs this season, as well as our individual hopes and dreams for the young players. So we touched on it before. I think the over-under was kind of set at like 24.5. I feel pretty confident that the Cavs are going to be over that. Not by a whole lot. I'd probably put them about 27, 28. But my thing has been, I think that they have a good potential to be like last year's Atlanta Hawks, where, yeah, they're in close games. They're losing close games. They can't defend. But they're exciting and they're fun. And as the year progresses, I think you're going to see a more and more cohesive team.
Yeah, I think that would be the dream, right? Like, you don't want to do so well that you're in danger of losing your first overall pick or your first round pick because it is top 10 protected to the Hawks. Now, I don't think the Cavs have anything to worry about on that front. Like,
right.
The Hawks have at least two more foundational pieces that, like, they're pretty excited about moving forward than the Cavs do. But they don't have a player nearly as good as Kevin Love. So,
right.
Who knows how this plays out? I'm not, as I said on our last podcast, I'm not touching that line as a gambler. Just because I just think it's so dependent on whether or not they trade Kevin Love, and it's so dependent on whether or not Kevin Love stays healthy. And like, those two things can completely determine the success of this team. So I'm not interested in it from a gambling perspective, though. If I can quickly derail, I did make a wager on Team USA at minus 350. And Justin, let me fucking tell you, it's down to minus 300. I didn't get the best of the line. I cannot believe I didn't get the best of the line on this.
Well, the field's going to win anyway, so it doesn't really matter what.
I am thinking a little bit about a little drop on Australia.
Look at you go.
40-1.
Look at you go, damn it. I want to circle back for a second because you were talking about you don't want to be so good that you're in danger of losing the pick. Let's say some of those expiring guys, so let's say Jordan Clarkson, Brandon Knight, John Henson, let's say those are the three guys that are moved, and the young guys play so well, Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love stay healthy, they play like 70 games each, and this team squeaks into the eighth seed. Would you actually be upset about that? Would you be upset about losing the pick?
No, and here's why. It always goes back to the fact that like this is the hobby I spend the most time on.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, I want to have fun watching doing my hobby. So it's right. Like, I don't give a shit really if ultimately like it would be better for the team long term to like pick ninth. Like, I mean, I get that that's better, but like ultimately, like an entire, if this team is making the playoffs, that means we're having an insane amount of fun. And some of the young kids on this roster have popped in a way that neither of us even came close to predicting. So ultimately, like,
yes. I'm fine with
long term. That's not good, but who gives a shit? We're not the GM of the team.
Long term, I won't even go as far as saying long term it wouldn't be good, because if it's a result of the young guys playing that well, that's a really, really encouraging sign. Like, I think as long as your core are part of why you're winning and you're not artificially inflating it with guys, like Kevin Love's going to artificially inflate it when he's on the team, but he's somebody that they've kind of identified as either a cornerstone or a big piece of this team. If they trade him, they would want a significant return. So he's an important part of this team moving forward. If him, Larry Nance Jr., Tristan Thompson play well, Colin Sexton takes a big leap forward, Jetty Osman plays like he did from January 1st on and better, and then you get good contributions from Kevin Porter Jr. off the bench, from Dylan Windler, and Darius Garland is in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, and that's why you get in, I'm 100% for it. And I don't think it's the craziest thing, only because I look at last year's Orlando Magic team, and that was just an awful, awful roster that really didn't have a lot. And was fairly young. I mean, you're talking about Vucevic, who's very good, but probably comparable to Kevin Love. DJ Augustine starting for them. You had Evan Fournier, Terrence Ross playing heavy minutes. Like, there's just not a whole lot there. And the East did get even weaker. So it wouldn't blow my mind. I still think they're probably going to finish with the bottom five record. But I'm not ruling anything out.
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know. I mean, this team was so devastated by its start that it really never had a chance to be anything but what it was. So I agree with you, and I think that
and the coaching, the coaching change we have to mention.
Yeah, we have to figure out if Beilein is a really good coach or a mediocre coach or not even a fit in a modern NBA. Or
Here's the thing: I don't think he's going to be openly questioning whether or not he wants to be a head coach in the sport of basketball to reporters in the middle of the year.
You're absolutely right, Justin. Yeah,
I mean, he might drop dead, but
he very well could. I was going to make that joke, but I'm glad you did. I wonder if he's the first coach, first rookie. He's got to be the first rookie coach to be collecting Social Security.
Do we get like a senior's discount with him on anything?
Oh man. Dude, they need to do some kind of early bird special promotion.
That's why we got to extend Jetty now. We're going to get that sweet seniors discount on his next contract.
Oh, I love that.
What do you think, what would be a number, what would be the most that Jetty could be extended for per year that wouldn't like cause outrage for you?
I don't know. I mean, outrage is an interesting word. I think just number is going to be a little scary for me because I just don't really know. Like, those are the kinds of extensions that, you know, those extensions are really interesting because they're either super fun and like great for the team or they're like an abject disaster. You know, I think anything more than 13 a year seems like now you're really kind of scratching credulity and it's like, are you getting that good of a deal?
Than Jesus, I was thinking more like 422 as an extension. Like when we were discussing.
Okay. Well, we're talking about like worst case scenarios here. Like if they're in the, if they give them like a Nance type deal.
Yeah. If they give them the Amon Shumpert contract, essentially.
Yeah. Like 4 for 40 or something like that. Like that's like, I'm now like, are they really extracting value out of this extension? Cause that's kind of the idea with, you know, if you're looking at it from a utilitarian perspective, like you extend a guy so you can, you know, give him contract security now in exchange for a better deal for you most of the time, at least at this level of extension. So like if you know, 4 for 30, I don't know, maybe even less than that, like 4 for 24.
I would like is about $7 million a year would be kind of my high end there. If you're doing longer term, I think you have some flexibility there.
I think it's more likely if they get him at the 6-7 range, it's going to be a 3-year deal.
I agree. And if he's willing to commit to, let's say, like just over 5 a year for 4 years, I think you do that because even if he was the player who he was like last year, once he got healthy, I think you're not going to regret that contract. And he's such a beloved presence in the locker room. And as we've mentioned before, that locker room culture is such a priority with this team. I'd be all for it. I would really, really enjoy seeing him be extended. There's nobody else really on this team that I would get behind in that way, though.
I would tend to agree. I think that's fair. I think we should jump into our wish list, Justin.
Okay, I'm down for that.
So I'll take us there. Okay. So Justin and I were kind of trying to figure out what the fuck we were going to talk about during the deadest part of the season. And we kind of thought it might be valuable just to run through the Cavaliers roster and just kind of like figure out like what we're hoping for each of, you know, the core roster members and kind of like our wishes for the kind of season they'll have. So I think we should start with kind of our projected starting lineup and with Darius Garland. What's on your wish list for Garland?
I want him to take at least 5 threes a game. I would really like to see him pull. Ideally, I think you'd like the 3-point rate a little higher. Although ball handling alongside Colin Sexton and kind of figuring out his way, you're probably starting a little bit lower and then building your way up as the season progresses. I just want to see him be assertive with that long range shot. It would be nice because if you watch some of the film, the breakdown, I think Mike Schmitz had a very good breakdown that you can find on YouTube. But he is underrated as a passer and he can kind of make some of those next level reads. If we can see flashes of that along with some efficient scoring, I think it's really going to help this offense hum.
Yeah, I agree. I think for Garland, my big hope is that my wish list for Garland is that he comes out and makes us all realize he's a better passer than we thought he was.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
I'm pretty confident he's going to be a good scorer. And the jumper is so effortless. And, you know, I'm a little worried about the finishing, but like, I think in this modern league, the jumper, if it's as pure as it looks, is going to make everything so much easier for him. But like, yeah, I just really want to see, I want him to be like, holy shit, this guy's like a good passer. He's not just, He's not just a guy who can make the easy pass in the pick and roll. Like, I want to see some weak side, you know, corner passes and like finding angles that most guys just don't find. Yeah. Because I think he's got that in him. But
we saw some of that on a very small sample size as well.
Yeah, it's such a small scale, and it's just so hard. Like, when you're evaluating competition, like, Colin Sexton had some of those passes when he played in college every now and again. But, you know, I don't think either of us really believes in him as a plus playmaker.
Right.
At this NBA level. So that's my Garland hope. Let's move it down the line to Colin Sexton.
Mm-hmm. We both agree that he should be starting, right? Alongside Garland.
I didn't think so, but then your piece on undersized backcourts kind of sold me. And then just the rationale of, like, it's not about winning. It's about figuring out, like, these guys figuring out how to be good basketball players. Like, it's not always about just putting the most efficient, effective lineups on the floor.
Right.
It's about letting these guys figure it out. And I actually don't think they're going to stymie each other's development as much as I originally was concerned with. So, for Sexton, you know what I kind of want to see? I want to see him figure out how to be a plus on-ball defender.
Okay. Because
there's no reason why a bulked up, smarter Colin Sexton can't bother lead ball handlers. He's got long arms. He's quick as hell. He works hard, so he should be kind of like learning from his mistakes. That's my hope. I hope that I don't think he's going to be a great team defender right away, but I want him to become, I want to see him be the bulldog we thought he might be able to be early on in college.
No, I completely agree. And you took the wind out of my sails to some extent, because that was going to be something that I really would like to see. You mentioned it. He's got that 6'8 wingspan. What he was projected to be coming into the NBA didn't involve him being a good defender, and he seems to have a willingness there. I do think that having Garland alongside him to initiate offense is going to help him conserve some energy and give more of that to the defensive end, hopefully. Hopefully it doesn't result in him standing around. That would be the main thing, because everybody on the Cavs is going to have to learn how to move off ball. That's something that Beeline has really emphasized. And almost everybody's going to be getting opportunities to do some playmaking. Like, Kevin Love's still going to be involved. Larry Nance Jr. is going to be involved. Jetty Osmond, Colin Sexton, Darius Garland. They're all going to be trusted to initiate the offense at some point. And in order for that to work, everybody else has to be on the same page and moving off ball. So for me, it's to see Sexton blossom as an on-ball defender, as you mentioned. I would also really, really like to see him make quicker decisions. I don't need him to make next-level passes. I think he can be a good combo guard. I just need him to make quick decisions. Swing the ball if there's nothing there. Shoot it if you're going to shoot it, or attack the basket if you're going to attack the basket. Just don't pound the air of the ball. Try to limit the amount, your time per possession. And I think as long as you do that, you can be a functional part of any good offense if you do those things, even if you aren't the greatest passer in the world.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly reasonable and hopeful wish for Sexton. Let's keep it moving. I'll let you keep the ball.
All NBA, second team.
For Jetty Osmond. Come on, be reasonable, Justin. Like, third.
Yeah, fair. With Jetty, so as I mentioned before, I'd like to see kind of more of the same. I think him improving on defense, especially with playing the positions he is more physically capable of playing rather than 1 through 5, as he did last season, is going to benefit him. So now that he's going to be confined to, okay, you're defending mostly 2s and 3s, maybe some 4, if they're going small, you need to excel in that role, because he is an older player. He's 24 years old. We've seen some physical development from him over the last couple of years, and again this summer. That needs to translate, because if he can't do that and he's just somebody that can kind of play well off ball, play well in transition, hit spot-up shots, maybe a little bit of playmaking, but doesn't bring it on the defensive end. For the purposes of this team, that probably puts him a little further back in the rotation when you're talking about what the ideal version of this Cavs team is going to be. He's going to have to be a sixth or seventh man, whereas right now, obviously, you're hoping for a little bit more.
I think I'm going to go a little off the beaten path with this this Jetty wish list, and I think I like this a lot. I want him to be the team's leader in net rating.
Okay. Yep.
I want Jetty to be involved in the biggest amount of positive lineups for this team. Like, we talked about this a lot, that last season it was just so hard for Larry Drew to find lineups that consistently were outscoring their opponents. Like, almost every single lineup was taking L's. And I think for Jetty to really become the kind of player we hope he's going to be, you kind of want him to become that plus minus superstar, that guy who can make it work in any lineup he's in and just make his team better just by being on the floor. Like, that paradigm shouldn't be that out of reach for him. And it didn't happen last year for a lot of reasons. Guys like Nwaba were a lot more effective as that kind of like catch all, like mix lineup was a little bit better. I think that's kind of my dream for him. And that just involves, and to get there, I just think it's all around big picture improvement at just about every skill by like 5-10%, because I don't think a leap is coming for Jetty, really.
I agree.
I don't think that he's got like all-star potential hidden in there at this point, but like to be if he could become a Robert Covington-esque player for them,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be really exciting and something that's actually within reach.
That'd be incredibly exciting, and that would blend in on what I was hoping for him to be when we first drafted him and I was high on Jetty coming in. I thought he could be the small forward version of Tristan Thompson for this team, where doing a little bit of everything, being that glue guy, and I think that's a relatively realistic hope for him. I don't think any of us are expecting him to be like a building, like a core piece. But he can be a part of this rebuild and he can be part of the solution. His age obviously fits well with the other young guys, and hopefully he can blossom into that role. And I think the other main thing is just more confidence, like stay involved no matter what, because there were games where it was really hit or miss with him last year. Down the stretch, he just wasn't as assertive, especially as more guys became healthy. And after the trade deadline, where you had Brandon Knight taking some possessions, we need to see him be more assertive. Or if you're not getting touches, make sure you're cutting hard off ball, trying to get into those passing lanes, crashing the boards, getting offensive rebounds. He's a good rebounder for a wing. He needs to do those type of things to keep him involved and keep that positive impact, which I think is what you were alluding to when you said you want him to be that plus minus guy for this team.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we both have recalibrated our Jetty expectations a little bit from last year, this year, but not in a way that is disappointing at all. We're just like aiming for different stuff for him.
Oh, I thought I'm higher than him on him than I was last year. Like, last year was a novelty.
Well, I feel like last year we were talking about, like, maybe he could be like an approximation of what like Nick Batum was for those Blazers. And like, that's a really, really good player, that version mm-hmm. of Nick Batum. I'm not sure that's Jetty's style at this point, but I mean, a Robert Covington would be like a total dream as this team looks to add more star talent elsewhere. But
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, let's keep it moving in the interest of time. Kevin Love, I'm going first this time. My wish list for Kevin Love is that he finishes the season on the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. No, that's fair. I just don't know what the market would be for him. And I think we both have kind of set our sights really high on that.
Can I rephrase?
Okay, go ahead.
I want Kevin Love to play at least 68 games for the Cleveland Cavaliers next season.
I'd like to see 69 at least.
That's nice.
I think that'd be a nice amount.
Yep. So like to that end, like because that number means he stayed on the team. That means he stayed healthy. And we actually got to see these young guys play with him, because that, remember that first week of him returning and all of a sudden Sexton looking so much more bouncy with all the extra room he was providing.
And Kevin Love wasn't even good. Like, he didn't have his legs under him. He didn't have that 3-point shot.
He just talent-wise raised the competence of the entire team.
There was just absolutely no depth on the team last year. It was embarrassing. And the depth that they did have, at least for large parts of the year, were completely checked out. Like, they were checked out after Kevin Love went down. Ronnie Hood didn't give a shit. Alec Burks didn't give a shit. Like, George Hill certainly didn't give a shit. And I think just upping that give a shit level with guys like even Kevin Porter Jr., who I'm sure we'll get into shortly, but upping that level, I think it's going to make the Cavs more competitive more frequently than they were last year, even if they aren't a good team.
Yep, I would agree. Let's move to Larry.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
Because I imagine he's going to start over Tristan.
So I think Tristan should start. Okay.
Totally agreed. Actually, you know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure who will. But I think right now it's Larry, even though we both probably would lean towards Tristan as the choice.
Yeah, well, especially with Tristan taking the summer off, which is very, very, very rare for him with Team Canada. He seems to be really focused on coming up strong in this contract season. But if Larry Nance Jr. is to start, the one thing I really, really want to see from him is for him to up his rim protection numbers. Because that was that's basically the biggest gap between he and Tristan. Like, Larry Nance is a better playmaker. He's able to put the ball on the floor. He's a little more versatile there. He can move defensively a little bit better than Tristan. Not always with the same. He's always moving, but it's not always the right spot to move to. Tristan, I think, has a higher defensive IQ. But the biggest gap in their games is that Larry Nance is one of the worst rim protectors in the NBA. He was bottom five last year, whereas Tristan Thompson is still an above-average rim protector. And we need whoever is playing out there alongside our undersized backcourt and the Jetty Osman and Kevin Love. You need that last line of defense to at least be somewhat of a force.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, though. I'm actually going to go to the other side of the ball. I want Larry Nance to take at least 3 threes a game next year.
Oh, okay.
He took 1.5, made 34% of them, which is a perfectly respectable number. I know he's been working on it this summer. And I think we've talked about this a lot, but there's such a big difference between being a capable shooter and a willing shooter. And Latter has a lot more impact on the gravity you have for your teammates than the former. And this Cavs team is already short on big men, and it's definitely short on big men outside of Kevin Love that can shoot. And they don't have a lot of hybrids that can play the four like they have.
Wow. John Hanson slander, but continue.
I knew you were going to make a fucking John Hanson joke. Like, they don't have – a lot of teams have 3-4s that can – threes that really are fours in the modern NBA. The Cavs don't have any of those. I mean, we watched Jetty try that last year, and it didn't go particularly well. So I think that him being a guy that adds another willing volume three-point shooter next to Kevin Love in the front court – will just make things so much easier on the team's guards. So even if the percentage number doesn't go up significantly, or even maybe drops just a little bit, I still think overall it's good for him, his development, and good for the team's overall gravity. Like, I think the offense will function better if he's pulling on those threes.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now, you're a gambling man. If you had to bet, would you say that he's going to reach that number, or where would you kind of put that line at?
I don't know. I think he's going to shoot more, at least. I mean, I would probably say he took 1.5 per game last year. You know, I think Love's going to spend a lot. If Love stays healthy, it's going to actually be a little harder on him if he starts, because he will occupy the rim rolling spot on the floor and hang out in that dunker spot a little more.
That would be a lot of fun. Like, if Colin Sexton and Jetty can shoot well, and you can run like a Garland and Larry Nance Jr. pick and roll with Kevin Love also spacing the floor, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think like it's a disaster if he doesn't shoot that much. But, you know, I would definitely put it if I ever set in the line, I'd set it at two even because I think he's going to try to shoot more and keep showing that that's part of his game. And ultimately, like Larry Nance is going to need something that makes him especially special on offense that to kind of justify continued investment in him from the team and from the league at large. Like he's a pretty good passer. He's a pretty poor finisher in the pick and roll. He can't really dribble. So like he needs one more thing in his offensive tool belt, I think, to really become a more effective player. And this might be it.
Yeah. I'd like to see it. I don't know if that would be something that I place a bet on. It's just not my area of expertise. But I mean, we all have our strong suits when it comes to betting, right? And football season is here, people. It's time to start placing your bets for the NFL and college football, if that is your expertise. Blue Wire is teaming up with the Sports Information Traders and the legend John Price, one of the world's most successful bettors. So our listeners are given the chance to make more money on football this season.
Go to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue and get the college football and NFL futures play and make up to 15 times your money for only a $99 investment, Justin. Last year, Sports Information Traders, or SIT as I'm just calling them, it's not in the ad read, correctly predicted the Clemson Tigers to win the college football championship, making one client alone $110,000. Justin, wouldn't you like to be $110,000 richer?
Yeah, that's a lot of clams. The year before that, Kurt Presley of the Sports Information Traders made $1 million with a preseason wager on the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl. John Price and the Sports Information Traders team can help guide you on the best ways to make money on future bets and preseason football betting picks. You get all that for just $99 and the opportunity to make 15 times your money. It's totally worth getting the Sports Information Traders betting picks.
Justin, where has the Sports Information Traders been featured?
They've been featured on ESPN as well as gambling911.com, Entrepreneur Magazine, and many more. John Price has been successfully making money betting on sports for over 20 years, making a big return for small investments with the Sports Information Traders future picks.
Get started now by going to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue. Again, make sure you go to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue to have your chance at a 15 times return this football betting season.
Know who has a 15 times percent chance of outperforming their draft position? My boy. Kevin Porter Jr.
There we go. Okay.
KPJ. How about that?
Hit me, bro. What are you hoping for?
Words, but I feel like the thought was good.
You nailed it, buddy. No one's going to hold you accountable for that.
So KPJ, obviously, this is kind of a little bit more, I don't know if I want to call it decisive or divisive. Sorry, I can't speak. But he's a wild card for the Cavs. Obviously, you're talking about a top 10 talent in this draft. Had some off-court concerns, although I look it up and it's really nothing that seems that outlandish. Like it's nothing that I feel like the Cavs should be worried about, especially because you do hear the stories that they've been scouting him all year long. They had people at USC. They were very, very, very invested in trying to figure out what makes him tick and whether or not this would be a trade up target. Obviously they didn't have to trade up to get Kevin Porter Jr. But this is really, really kind of a boom or bust pick for the Cavs and someone that has me excited.
Yeah, can I lump him and Windler together for my wish list? Might I break a rule?
You can. I might have individual ones, but I'll let you go.
Yeah, go hit your individual first, then I'll lump, and that'll be a nice segue for you.
Okay, so part of why I think KPJ is going to have a very quality season for the Cavs is I think they're naturally set up to give him his ideal start to his NBA career. I think early on you're going to see him practicing. He's going to really have to fight for minutes, especially with Brandon Knight and Jordan Clarkson there. But as the season progresses and Jordan Clarkson gets moved, Brandon Knight gets moved, I think he's going to take over that Jordan Clarkson role, which is something he's well suited to do. He already has kind of the size and weight to play the three, especially if the Cavs do go small. So I think that's going to help him get some minutes early on as well. I want to see good on-ball defense from him. That's something that is certainly within his repertoire, or at least he has the physical capability to be a good on-ball defender. And I just want to see that relentless attack from him. Get to the rim, be aggressive anytime you're on the floor, and we can work on the other things later. Because especially coming in off the bench, that's what they're going to need. The Cavs stalled out far too frequently, even after Kevin Love came back, when the bench was out there. And for him to kind of give them that that life off the bench, I think that could be infectious and something that helps build his confidence and build his confidence in the team as well, in giving him that opportunity after he hopefully earns it.
Bro, you're just slobbering all over this guy.
Oh, no, I'm all in. I'm all in on the KPJ experience.
So mine is actually a little more low-key than yours, and it does combine him and Windler. My wish list for the Cavaliers is that one of their two late first rounders is a no doubt rotation player for a good team by the end of the year. Like, okay, is considered to be like someone who can be, I guess, or that we expect to be. Like, I think one of those two guys has a real chance to pop. Is like, oh, that guy's better than any of us thought. And like, he'll get some shout out in a Zach Lowe piece. Or, you know, like the, like that kind of player where everyone
is 100% getting a shout out in a Zach Lowe piece. That is my goddamn lock. If the sports information traders would let me bet on that, I would 100% bet on that shit. Because Dylan Windler is going to be that player you described. That's why I'm so invested in KPJ blossoming like that. Because I'm confident that Garland's going to be very good as a rookie. And I'm very confident that Windler is going to be a rotation player. So if you hit on all three, I think that just makes things very, very exciting.
I'd settle for two. I'd settle for, you know, Garland looks like a future all-star kind of player that you hope can blossom to even more. And then just one of those two other rooks are like, okay, I do not have to worry about this guy. He will be an effective player in the NBA, because I remember on draft night, like, I didn't know a ton about Wendler, nothing. Porter, I only knew a little bit about, and I just thought, like, I think I said something that sounded like I didn't believe in them, which is like, I hope they can play in the NBA, because, and it sounded like I was being critical of those guys, but really I'm just being critical of like where guys normally perform when drafted in that spot, which is like, there's no guarantee that you're an NBA player when you're drafted there at the end of the first round. So I think I'm hoping for a little bit more than that at this point. And I think that at least one of them has the real chance to get there, even though we are not 100% sure which one just yet.
Well, let's keep
moving though, because we're running long, Justin. Get it out.
No. I mean, this is August. This is the content central of the NBA season, man. We drafted the next Dame, Harden, and Peja. So I think we can feel pretty good about that. One question we did get in our Discord chat, or not on our Discord, and on Twitch, is that do you think either of them will spend much time in Canton?
Maybe. It feels more likely that Kevin Porter does than Windler, doesn't it?
I agree, especially if he needs reps.
There's just such a glut of scoring guards on this team, and that's Porter's game, whereas the Cavs, you can always throw a shooter out there, you know? And Windler being 6'8", even though he's a toothpick, they might throw him up at the four in some bench units.
I don't think Windler plays in Canton. He really fills a need with this team. And for that reason, I think he's going to stay up. KPJ, the only thing that I would take into consideration is they might have to do some ego management with him. And I think they might have some trepidation about sending him down to Canton just from a buy-in perspective. Because I think he is going to need to fill a role as the year progresses, whether he's ready for it or not. And they probably want him in the right frame of mind for that. So I don't think either will spend tons of time. I could see a stint or two, especially if one of them gets banged up and just kind of a rehabbing and conditioning type appointment. But Overall, I think out of the guys that are currently signed to the Cavs, it's basically just going to be Dean Wade.
Yep. All right. Let's keep moving. Running. I think we'll probably do a couple more players. Because
I wasn't even expecting to do this many players, but yeah.
Oh, we're moving. So we have to talk Tristan because we haven't talked about him yet. And I actually am having a really hard time coming up with something for him because it's like I just know who Tristan is at this point, and I'm fine with who Tristan is at this point. Do you kind of feel the same way?
Yeah, it's basically health, right? Like I think if you could guarantee that Tristan would be healthy, that you're getting like, let's say October through February 2016-17 Tristan before he got hurt and just basically never was the same guy. If you could guarantee me that, I'd be ecstatic. If you could guarantee me who he was last year offensively, where you started to see a little bit of passing, I think that he's suited to play with these guys if he's healthy and if he's playing as a kind of traditional role, because there's going to be shooting on this team unlike last year. And there's going to be guys looking to run pick and roll. And I think he fits in well with what they want to do. It's just health. Like if he could be healthy, I'd be very on board with kind of a team friendly extension with him. But until he can prove he can be healthy, then obviously it's kind of tough to feel good about an extension, because then you basically have two guys that until they prove that they can be healthy and more consistent are backup centers in Larry Nance Jr. and Tristan.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't have too much more to say on Tristan. I just love him nonetheless.
Oh yeah, no. Retire 13.
Yeah, and I think really the only last one we have to talk about. I mean, yeah, Henson, Dally, like we kind of know they're pure trade pieces, but I do think we should.
Yeah, Henson, our 3-and-D center. You like to see that
3-and-D Cs. I do think we should have a quick talk about Jordan Clarkson, though.
Okay.
What would you hope for from Clarkson if you had to kind of pin it down? Because I know what I have.
I hope for who he was last year, resulting in a first round pick. That's it.
Yeah, I just think that I don't know if that's the way it'll work, but I hope he plays well enough to have a contender want to take a chance on him, whatever that means.
I don't think his market's going to be contender. I think his market's going to be 5-8.
Well, yeah, I guess playoff contender. Sorry. Yeah, I do think
other than us,
there are teams that I think could use the guy. I think he's kind of wasted here. I mean, he's obviously expiring, so his $12.5 million number shouldn't really scare anyone off. Maybe he has a great time there. You know, maybe you can get him for a deal if you want to keep him around. But he just seems like the kind of guy who actually can add some scoring punch for a contender. And I talked about this a couple pods ago. Like he is I think the fact that Hood played so well kind of takes the stink off everyone involved with that trade in the postseason. Like Hood did play well in the postseason for the Blazers. And like, that's the level of team that I think should take a chance on Clarkson. Cause I do think he was pretty damn good last year amidst a pretty ugly season.
Yeah. The Blazers don't have any picks left, right? Or do they?
Keep foisting our players onto them.
Yeah, I would love that. And they could use it. I mean, they got a little bit weaker on the perimeter. He can be your Evan Turner replacement. I think you're golden there.
Sure.
Let's hit up our boy, Dan Morang. I'm sure he would be very ecstatic to add Jordan Clarkson.
Hell yeah, brother.
But yeah, I didn't have a problem with Jordan Clarkson last year. I think he kind of won a lot of people over, at least out of Cavs fans, because they were the only ones watching. But he, for the most part, played his role. Colin Sexton was better with Clarkson on the floor than he was off the floor. So I have seen a few people try to do like almost the blaming Clarkson for everyone's struggles, but kind of the same way the Lakers fans do with Rondo. And that just wasn't the case.
No, he did his job.
Yeah, he just doesn't fit with what the Cavs want to do. So I'm fine with hoisting him off to some other team, and hopefully he can blossom, because I do like Clarkson. I don't think there's anything wrong with him.
Agreed. Can't believe we're talking about him like this, but yeah, I won't necessarily like be crying tears when he leaves, but I'm not going to be like celebrating it either.
We're going to be a worse team after he leaves.
Probably.
I'm pretty damn confident in that. And then year two, maybe year three, KPJ really settles into that James Harden type role. So that'll be nice to see. But it was nice to see your face again, Carter. And it's nice to see all of our awesome listeners that continue to support us through the off season. Really, really still blown away by you guys. It's amazing. Remember, you can support our show by subscribing on Twitch if you want to watch us live, or just subscribing on your favorite podcast app. It does go a long way. Word of mouth goes a long way. Tell your friends and family about us. Leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, cook those books. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, send a screenshot of your review to chasedownpod@gmail.com and we will respond with the link. Carter, do you have anything else to add before I wrap this thing up?
Yeah, just hit us a little follow and subscribe on Twitch.
Thanks. Yeah, I said that at the beginning. Thanks for listening.
I thought you were just plugging the fucking stream. I'm sorry. I got to.
You know what? You know what? I know what my wish list is for you next year, and it's to listen.
Be a better listener.
Listen to my words of wisdom, because if we have one person on this podcast that isn't a good listener, it's you, damn it.
Definitely not you.
Thank you to all of our good listeners out there. And until next time, go Cavs.